I'd like to read with you from Isaiah chapter 12, please. Very short chapter, Isaiah chapter 12. And we'll read the entire chapter for our brief meditation this evening.
In that day
thou shalt say, O Lord,
I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me,
thine anger is
turned away,
and thou comfortest me. Behold,
God is my salvation.
I will trust thee
and not
be afraid.
For the Lord, even the Lord, is my strength and my song.
He also is become
my salvation. Therefore,
with joy shall ye draw
water out of the wells of
salvation.
And in that day
shall ye say,
Praise the Lord.
Call upon his name.
Declare his doings
among the people.
Make mention
that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord,
for he hath done
excellent things.
This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout,
thou inhabitant
of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee.
I'm sure the Lord will bless to our heart the public reading of his precious word. It's believed that the background to chapter 12 of Isaiah is the Assyrian defeat by God during the days of Hezekiah.
If you read the 37th chapter of this book, you will get some detail as to how God intervened and brought great victory. You remember Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, had sent letters to Hezekiah. And in those letters, he blasphemed God
as his representatives came and spoke in Hebrew.
As the people moved among the walls, remember, some of the elders said to him, don't speak
in our language. We understand your language.
But they did not hear because their interest was to intimidate the Lord's people. And he went on to say, how God gave them, rather, they had victory over the gods of the other nations.
They had gods,
and so they had victory over them.
They threw them in the river, in the sea, and said to Hezekiah that his God will not be able to deliver.
That's where Sennacherib made his mistake. He challenged God.
You can't challenge God and win.
Nebuchadnezzar tried it.
He challenged God.
And he soon
found
that his furnace that was heated
7 times
its normal heat
was not able to consume a child of God
because of the intervention
of God himself.
I'm sure you remember the story. Some 186,000
people,
soldiers,
were wiped out
in a moment of time.
As they
camp around the
city of Jerusalem. It's believed then that
this
passage, this chapter, is a song of praise as
Hezekiah and the people of Israel have just come through this tremendous time of blessing from God,
this great victory,
and they are rejoicing. They are singing praises unto the Lord. But as you read the chapter, it tends to also have a futuristic application or reference. It seems to be picturing also the millennial reign of Christ when the people of God, namely the people of Israel, enter into that particular era,
that
utopian period
when God shall
shower upon them blessings innumerable, when their loved ones will live for great ages, and when there will be plenty in the land, and there is going to be an extension of God's blessings that are going to be known by the people of Israel. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that righteousness will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And so we know that the utopian age that is yet to come is going to be an extensive one, not just localized in Jerusalem. That's going to be the center. The throne is going to be there. Jesus is going to sit upon that throne. But his influence and the blessings from that little land shall be felt around the world. And as you read then these verses, it seems also to have a futuristic. But of course you would understand that our interest is for a present application, because we believe it is absolutely necessary for God's people to be able to apply the scriptures to them day by day. We need to be able to apply God's word in every circumstance, no matter what we are called to experience. We want to know that the word of God is relevant. Sometimes when we think of God, when we pray, we think God being way, way up there, far removed from us. It is true that he is in heaven, but the Bible tells us that he is with us too. He is in us, and he desires to be relevant in every experience of life. And so as we share together this evening briefly, we trust the Lord will encourage us. For that's my interest. My interest is that we be encouraged in the things of God. Now when we think of this passage, of course, we note verse 2, which says, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, even the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. And although when we think of salvation, we tend, and rightly so, to make some application to the initial spiritual deliverance in the life of each person. That is salvation from the penalty of sin. But you will understand that that's not the kind of salvation here. The salvation here is victory in the believer's life. But perhaps there might be someone here that has a little doubt as to their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a great provision by God for your soul's salvation, that you might know that you have eternal life. This is the only way you will enjoy it, if you know that you have it. Like I say to folk who say to me, well, I'm doing the best I can, I'm trying, I'm working towards it. I ask them, tell me how far have you got? Because you have to come to the point where you have got far enough and you can say you have it. Because if you never can say you have it, you'll never enjoy it. You will continue to work to get it. And God's desire is not that we work to get it, but that we believe and receive it and enjoy it. That's what it's all about. And revel in its blessings in our life. But if you don't know you have it, you won't enjoy it, and you won't share it. I think one of the outstanding things about any person who is a Christian is talking about what they have in Christ, sharing their salvation. The least bit of doubt you might have about that, you will not share it. And so we want you to know that Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, that you might have eternal life. And the Bible says, this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But when we think of this, we think of the fact that is this chapter. We think of the fact that the Lord is many things to many people. He's a lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Word. He's a fortress. He's a shield and buckler. There are many things, and He's the good shepherd. And a lot of us, we revel in that truth. The Lord is my shepherd. Something personal and experiential about that. And day by day, we feel so close to the shepherd. God is our shepherd. But here in these verses, it says, God is our strength, He's our song, and He's our salvation. God is my strength. He's what I need most in life. I need the power to fight as a believer. And so He is our strength. He is your strength as a Christian. He is my strength. But also it says He is my song. He is my song. You see, as we face the vicissitudes of life, as we face the battle, He is our song, and we can go forward with heaven's music ringing in our hearts. You see, when you go forth with heaven's music ringing in your heart, that bespeaks the fact of confidence. You remember Jehoshaphat. When Jehoshaphat was to go against, I think it was, the Ammonites, a great company indeed, that were to come up against the people of Israel, led by Jehoshaphat. The first thing Jehoshaphat did was to select a choir. And a choir went before the army. Never was done before. We send the guns before the army, and we keep the choir for later. So when the battle is won, the choir sings. But in that particular case, the choir went before. And as they went forward singing the song of God, there was great victory that was experienced. And that is my salvation. And that speaks of daily victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything I need then, by way of encouragement, is mentioned in verse 2. Let's look a little closer then at these verses as we continue to share together. Firstly, the Lord is my strength. Now the Christian life is a continual battle. Unless you realize that, Satan will trip you up. He'll overcome you. But if you realize that this life is a continual conflict, the Christian life is a continual conflict, therefore you must be continually alert. You must be continually aware of this and appropriate all that God has provided for us, that we might know victory as we move forward and do battle with the enemy. It's a fierce conflict, and our battle is with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let me say, they don't let up. If they fail in one way, they try another way. But God has provided for our victory. The Bible tells us that He is our strength. When Joshua was commanded by God to go over into the land of Canaan and divide the land among the people of God, God said to Joshua, "Be strong. Be strong and have a good courage." You see, he needed strength to face the task. The task demanded all that he could muster as he went over to meet the enemy, as he went over to do that great job as commanded by God. Thanks be unto God, we have the same provision made for us. We have the provision for this victory. God is our strength. For the believer today, the Holy Spirit who lives within us is our strength. When you come to Ephesians chapter 6, 3 and verse 16, we read these words that are very applicable at this time. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says, "And that He might reconcile both." Excuse me, that's not the verse. That's the verse, but I'm reading verse 16 of chapter 2, right. Verse 16 of chapter 3. "That He would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And in chapter 1 of Ephesians, he talks about this power that is for our spiritual benefit. And he says, the power that I'm talking about, Paul is praying, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that great power. And that's the strength, that's the power that's been provided for us, that we might be victorious over the world of the flesh and the devil. These are subtle powers. These are subtle powers. And we find them continually at work. But the Holy Spirit who lives within us is there to make sure that we have that which is necessary. John says in chapter 1, or rather chapter 4 of his first epistle, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so strength, we are strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit. This strength is continuous. In the book of Job, chapter 17 and verse 9, we read these words. The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Ah, beloved, we may go from strength to strength. We may experience this continual strength, this continuous strength, as we appropriate God's provision through the Spirit who lives within us. Ephesians 6:10, of course, tells us concerning the fact that we are strong in the Lord. Habakkuk tells us in chapter 3, verse 19, that God is our strength. And we're told in Isaiah chapter 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall renew their strength. And so, the Lord is our strength. We could elaborate a little more, but time is hastening on. But also, he is our song. He is our song. Some years ago, when I was living in Chicago, studying in Chicago, I should say, for some 5 years, there was a program that meant a whole lot to me as a young Christian. When I went to Chicago, 3 things I did right out. The moment I got there, I endeavored to do. Number 1, I looked for a church, an assembly, that I could get some spiritual help. I wasn't saved long, just a matter of weeks, really. I found that assembly. Then I bought a Scofield Bible, and I bought a radio. I found an assembly. I bought a Scofield Bible. I had a Bible, but I wanted a study Bible. That's why I stick with the Scofield, I guess, today. It's been a tremendous help in my young Christian life. And I got a radio. I wanted not to listen to the latest hits. I wanted to listen to Christian programs. And one of the programs that I got that was a blessing to me was entitled Songs in the Night. Coming from Western Chicago, Constant Springs. Oh, I can hear those, introduction song coming through so clearly and really blessing my heart. Songs in the Night. Well, here, in this particular chapter, verse 2, it says that the Lord is not only our strength, but also our song. He is our song in the experience of the live with us. This is what being realized here in this chapter. They are singing because of deliverance. And it's easy to sing when you have been delivered, right? When blessings flow, oh yes, it's easy to sing. When the Israelites went across the Red Sea and got on the other side, Miriam took the timbrel and led some women in singing. Singing and dancing there in the wilderness, rejoicing in the victory over the enemy. Deborah sang. She also had victory, leading the people of the army of Israel in victory as a judge. Yes, they sang, and You, when you read the scriptures, you'll note how, especially in the Old Testament, like Hannah, when Hannah had Samuel, when she realized that God had blessed her, we have Hannah's song. You go to the New Testament, you have Elizabeth's song, you have Zacharias' song, you have Mary's Magnificat, as well as Elizabeth Benedictus, and you have Simeon's song, as he saw the Lord Christ. You have that song, as it is referred to in Latin, his nunc dimittis, as he was about to leave this life. He says, I can go now, Lord. That was a song. I can go now, Lord. I've seen your Christ. I've seen the Savior of Israel. And here they are singing. They're singing because of victory. Now, I'm sure you've had a song in your heart when you went experienced some victory in your life, haven't you? All of us. When you went out and you got a good catch, got some real nice sizable gold nuggets, and you came in, you had a song on your heart, right? When you landed a good contract, don't tell me don't sing. Huh? Come on now. Oh yes! We rejoice. It's easy to do that. I rejoice a lot. Brother Perry would know what I'm talking about. There's nothing like seeing a soul saved. When you preach the gospel and a person turns to Christ, let me tell you, there is a joy that you cannot express. We stay up late at night talking about it and praising God for seeing his hand of victory. We sing when we have victory. The millennial reign of Christ is going to be a reign of song. The celestial city in glory is going to be an eons of song. We have it in chapters 5 and 7 of the book of Revelation. Singing, friend. Ah! Songs in the night. That's a little different. Oh yes, singing when it is victory, when we have victory, when we experience deliverance, as we have in the psalm. Oh, that's easy. Those songs in the night season that speaks of difficulty. I went to see an old sister, and brother in Savannah Sound some years ago. And as I approached the house, I stood on the step and I paused a moment. Because coming from the inside was a song, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know the saith the Lord. And the verse that never ceases to bless my heart is this one. I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, the Savior, Jesus, friend. And I know that he is with me and will be with me to the end. She was singing that song. She had a husband that was bedridden. She had a daughter. The parents are all gone and the daughter's still alive. She's over 50. She had infantile paralysis at the age of 5 days. When she was 5 days old and she's still alive. She's been an invalid. She's been a cripple. She can't talk. She can't do anything for herself. All these years, and I heard this sister singing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. How could she sing in such circumstances, friend? He giveth songs in the night. Not only when there is victory, but also when difficulties come. David tells us about that. Songs in the night. Psalm 77 verse 6. Time and times of suffering. Paul and Silas reminds us of that. Oh, they could have prayed. It would have been natural to pray in those circumstances. When trouble comes, it's easy to pray. Oh, that's all we do, don't we? It's all we do when the crawfish is crawling good. And by the way, I hope you have a bumper crop this year. I really hope so.
I know you've had experience where they got rather scared. When you think of those big bills for that house, when you think of those bills for that boat, I know how you could feel. You feel the dike closing in on you. That's the time to sing. That's the time to let God know that, listen, I know things don't look too good, but my confidence is not in the sea. It's in God. Ah, beloved, that's the thing that makes us sing. When the cold hand of death comes in, or when sickness comes in, when things come that you can't handle, listen, that's the time to look to Jesus and be able to sing. We need to make the word of God relevant.
Relevant
to our every need. Paul and Silas sang. Paul, in a singing.
That's right.
But your backs are bleeding.
That's right.
Your feet are in the stocks. That's right. But we're singing.
Just the same.
Because you see, he giveth song in the night. The Lord is my song. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered who started the song when they were about to leave the upper room?
After the
Lord Jesus had washed the disciples' feet, and they had broken bread and took the wine, had the communion service, and just before then, Judas going out, and Jesus knew what he was going to do, and he knew that Gethsemane was just ahead, just prior to the experience of Calvary, and in between Gethsemane, or rather in between the experience in the upper room and Calvary, there was going to be a dark path walk. The Bible says, when they had sung a hymn. Have you ever wondered about that? I wonder who raised the hymn. Now you know it says about the disciples that their hearts were heavy. This is why Jesus says to them in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled, because they were deeply troubled. They realize now that he who said, I'm going to die, it's going to be a reality. What are we going to do? They were plunged in the valley of despond. But they sang a hymn. I want to believe Jesus started that hymn. I want to believe he struck right on key. As he was about to go out and they sang, maybe they didn't sing as lustily as he sang, but he led that chorus as they sang together. Because he giveth song in the night. The Lord doesn't leave us when things get tough. I know you know what I'm saying, but this is to stir up your pure mind. By way of remembrance, because we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. The Lord is my song. In the experience of deliverance, in the night season, when there is oppression, Job talks about it. And now here you are, my comfort is you're talking about everything except talking about the song that God gives in the night. You're not talking about that, he says in chapter 35 of his book. Yes, God gives songs in the night season. And of course these songs come forth because of our communion with God. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with him, we sing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we have, and I'm going to close, we have the source of the song. Look at verse 3. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Wells of salvation. Speaking of its freshness, its ever pleasantness, abundance, and its freedom as it flows. Speaking of the source that is sufficient. He is my salvation. We wish we had kind of time to develop these points
But we thank God for the fact that God is our salvation. He is our strength. And He is our song. The Lord is my salvation. It brings comfort to the soul. Verse 1. And thou comfortest me. This creates confidence in His sufficiency. Verse 2. And He has also become my salvation. It gives satisfaction of life. Verse 3. The wells of salvation. This promises hope for the future. Verse 4. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Speaks of God's promise of hope for the future. And it motivates for witness. We have that in the latter part of verse 4 and verse 6. God, He is my strength, my song, and my salvation. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts. Father, we live in difficult times. We believe the nearer we get to Your coming, the more severe the testings, the temptations, the difficulties are going to be. Because we believe the enemy of our souls will try to cause discouragement to set in, lest we give Him more trouble in our life, in our witness. But we pray that day by day we might be constantly aware that You are our strength, our song, and our salvation. You have delivered us, and Paul says, who will deliver us? And we trust Thee these promises, and we know that You will be true. We thank You for what You have done. We thank You for Your many blessings upon this little community. And although they have had their times of tragedy and difficulty, yet, Lord, Your hand of blessing has been incomparably demonstrated. And we thank You and we pray, as it has been prayed already this evening, but as the young men prepare for the crawfish season this year, that You would be with them and You will preserve and protect them. And those who work on the land, we pray, Lord, that You would just bless as only Thou canst do. And in, Father God, the blessings of the material things of life, we pray that there might be, as it has also been prayed, a great experience of another spiritual move by Yourself that will envelop this entire island and those people who live on Russell Island who are not too much of churchgoers. We pray, Lord, that they too might be touched and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the meeting tonight. Thank You for the time to pray, the time to meditate. Dismiss us now, we pray, with Your benediction. Take us to our homes in safety. Continue to remember those for whom special prayer was requested tonight. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus.